Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And of course, I want to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're too afraid to call me, I, of course, take emails, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You email me anything newsworthy, and I will read it. Questions, comments, concerns, I would love to hear from you. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I social network also. That was almost like a run-on sentence because I said also and I left it hanging there. Anyway, Smooth, if you're on Facebook, the Smooth Drama group, jump in. Myself or Mr. J will add you and we can talk a taste on it. We talk about pretty much everything on there. We kind of get wild and crazy. So if that's your deal, jump in. If it's not your deal, we still get wild and crazy. You might want to just look and just voyeur off of our wild and crazy. It's worth a shot. Or you can just Google me, Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back, and bam. We have a, what is it? I'm looking for a word. We will have symmetry, synergy, one of those. Anyway, I want to hear from you. In the meantime, in between time, crazy, crazy world. Sitting up here watching these playoff games. I am positively thrilled about the playoffs right now. It's not just because my Indiana Pacers spanked Cleveland the other night, and I'm expecting us to spank they ass again tomorrow. But also because they've been pretty entertaining games. I've enjoyed them. If you're not a basketball junkie, then you wouldn't understand. And I don't really care because I love it. And that's it. This conversation's not really going anywhere. I probably need to get back to what I was going to talk about, which is Wish.com ads. Wish.com is one of them sites where you wanna buy something to try to get something cheap, whatever, or wishes. You can buy stuff on there. They actually have their ads are all over video games that are, you know, played by children. And they have said that they are appropriate for kids. So it starts off with, you know, you can buy this, you can buy that. But they have been selling penis extender straps within the video games played by children. And I was like, because they have been reprimanded by the is UK internet watchdog group called Advertising Standards Authority, ASA. And they said they had behaved irresponsibly and, you know, they ensured that their adverts were properly, I have to say it like British, your adverts were properly targeted at appropriate age groups in the future. I'm sorry, that's too African. So apparently it's like third time in 5 months that this firm, which is Bay Area, San Francisco based, has been found to have breached the rules. They don't have the authority to punish offenders, but they said they're trying to continue to apply pressure on Wish.com where necessary, because they're selling penis extender straps. And I was like, I didn't know what the hell a penis extender strap was. But so I looked it up. And it's an extender or like a sleeve. And it's made of plastic or rubber. And you slide it over the penis. And supposedly it adds extra inches in length and girth. And I was like, wow. I didn't know they had that. Now, you know, they say it's for people who are erectile dysfunctioning and people who just want to add them extra limbs. And I said, I was like, damn. Okay. Yeah, because when I heard extender strap, I'm just thinking that you're going to put something weighted, like you have a strap with like a 5-10 pound weight and it's pulling on your penis. It's like a weight. You know how people used to wear them weights around their ankles? I just thought, okay, there's a weight on your penis and that's supposed to pull it down to make it longer. Extended. That was my first thought. I couldn't conceive, but this is like, apparently it makes it bigger and longer. You can buy it. So once you are hard, you put it on, and then it extends you. I don't know how that works, because it looks like a full sleeve, whatnot, and it's like hard plastic rubber. So I'm like, I don't know how you would get feeling out of it. I don't even understand what it would do for you. But I had this other thought. Be like, ladies, you'll be tricked. You'll be with dude, and you thinking, yeah, he's packing, but he's actually extending on your ass. And so he got his extender, he put the condom on, and you know, he is doing you. And you're like, wow, he is really, really packing. But he's not. He has an extender that he bought off of Wish.com when he was playing that video game. So now, if your man or dude that you're seeing plays video games, you have to ask yourself, is he really packing? Or is he extending on you? All right, I'm done. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I'm going to move on from that. And I'm actually going to go into a despicable human being. Well, I won't say despicable, but something that is along the lines of what is Miss 100% used to say, fuckery. Y'all know about George Michael, you know, the late singer. He died. So his partner, he tweeted some stuff. Saying that he was prepared to sell any of Michael's former possessions and to speak to the press for money as he struggles to survive financially after his long-term lover's death. And so, apparently, these were emotional tweets. I don't know how tweets can be emotional, but in the article, it was described as emotional tweets. So maybe the person who wrote the article was there crying with him when he was posting them. But 44-year-old hairdresser Fadi Fawaz. And if I mispronounced it, I don't care. He was George Michael's boyfriend for the last 7 years of his life. And he discovered the body on Christmas Day 2016. And so he wrote, and I quote, "I am done with being respectful towards George Michael or the rest. And no, I won't get a job." He posts, "George Michael items for sale. If you interested, please let me know. It's a way so I can survive till we solve the problems with his family and lawyer. Since I'm left with no help and since no one is human anymore. Fadi Fawaz, and willing to sell any story as well." I'm like, man. So this whole, I was with a celebrity, and the celebrity was taking care of me, so I'm not going to get a job. I should be able to sell his stuff and make money off of his name. And he should take care of me in my death. And, you know, of course, the family is like, yeah, we want that stuff. Obviously. I mean, he's tweeting this stuff. Fadi. He's tweeting, I'm not getting a job, and I'm gonna sell anything so I can get it. I mean, how pathetic is that? I shouldn't even have said his name, but I wanted to say his name because I just wanted to mispronounce it, because it just seemed like the right thing to do. Oh, Fadi. Anyway. And this is that part of celebrity that irks me. I mean, one, the fact that people want to buy stuff that a so-called celebrity, somebody that was famous, had or whatever. I don't get that. But I mean, I'm the one who didn't get why people bought Superhead's book. I never got the fascination with Marilyn Monroe. You know, I've never got that whole we love celebrities, and so you can be famous for being with a celebrity, right? It's just crazy that it happens like that. And you know, you see these people who their whole life, I mean, you think like a Monica Lewinsky. I mean, she didn't capitalize on it. She, you know, nobody wants to be famous. Well, most of us don't want to be famous. Most sane people don't want to be famous for sucking somebody's dick and wasting nut on my dress. I don't think that's something anybody want to be famous for. Just like I wouldn't want to be famous because some rich, famous R&B singer nutted in my goatee and it got on my shirt. I mean, who, what? I mean, because this is what people are famous for. They're famous because they had sex with somebody famous. We're getting famous not because we did anything. And I mean, it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs when I am famous because I had sex with somebody famous. And this dude, he, he's out there. I'm going to sell his stuff because I can't. I'm 44. What am I going to do? I'm not even saying it right. Maybe I should do it how he was saying. I'm 44. What am I going to do? I'm at 44. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so. Anyway, I can't do no more. Whew, it's too much for me. I'm going to go on break. I'm just saying. Fight evil wise. And willing to sell any story as well.
Ho ass.
This is Radio Galaxy. Please.
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homies over at Radio Galaxy. Please, what dope beats you have. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. All right. Scientists have developed a plastic eating enzyme that may be used to combat one of the world's worst pollution problems. Y'all know, oceans is filled with plastic that we have thrown in the ocean, thrown in a landfill that ends up in the water somewhere. So, researchers from Britain's University of Portsmouth and the U.S. Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory, they made this discovery while examining the structure of a natural enzyme found in the waste recycling center a few years ago in Japan. This enzyme called Ideonella sakensis 201-F6 is able to eat polyethylene, phthalate, PET, which was patented as a plastic in the 1940s and is used in millions of tons of plastic bottles. Their aim was to study the structure, but they accidentally engineered an enzyme which is even better at breaking down PET plastic. Now, that sounds good, except for we know they say one thing, but then you never, ever find out what else it does. Because, I mean, you start talking about enzymes, right? So when you start talking about enzymes and you're talking about what it may or may not do, if it's breaking down plastic, what else can it break down? I mean, is it poisonous to the environment? I mean, does it have flesh-eating capability? I mean, these are the things that aren't talked about. Because if it does one thing, what is the potential harm that it can also do? I mean, because I'm like, what happens is that you put this out there, right? Conspiracy theorist that I am. And we always talk about cause and effect. Yeah, it'll affect the plastic, but what else will it affect? Will it, when it breaks down this plastic, does it, what does it turn it into? Does it erode into some poison that further pollutes the ocean or the fish that we eat? And so it just kills them. It'd be some toxic waste into the water. As we know, we are not that good with keeping our water clean in the civilized world here. I mean, you think that there'd be desalination plants all over the United States, all over the world, actually, because we're saying, I know it. There's a couple million dollars that they cost to make those desalination plants. That, and a desalination plant is a plant where they take salt water and convert it into fresh water. We could probably use a couple of those in the Michigan area, Flint in particular, but I digress. Point is, I see this. And it's like whenever there's an invention, and they talk about something, I always think, okay, what's the bad part? Because they always tout the good part, right? Like, you know, this is going to be great. We're going to be able to go green. We're going to be able to melt this plastic down. But I'm like, why don't we just melt the plastic down and reuse it? I mean, how hard is it to have a factory where you melt plastic down? Well, real simple. You melt it down and reuse it to make water bottles or whatever. But you're going to end up doing something and it's going to be poisonous because scientists, they don't do things that are beneficial to the world. They do things that are beneficial to the profit. That is what I am certain of. And I can't think of anything that we've done on a worldwide scale that has been non-profitable, that has just been for the betterment of the species, the mankind species. It hasn't happened. I'm waiting, but it's probably not going to happen in my lifetime either. Because if it does happen, they're probably going to kill that person and then make sure that they use it for evil. I'm just saying. Or it just dies. Like, there was the guy who supposedly had made water as a fuel in the car. he disappeared off the set. Like, he, like, really disappeared off the set. And that technology kind of disappeared with him. So, that's like an example. I mean, like, whenever you see or hear something that could benefit mankind, I'm like, yeah, what's the catch? What's the catch? Because I know there's always a catch. But that's just me. So, since I'm being a pessimistic individual right now, we're talking about the end of humanity. I mean, I've said for a while, there's like 20 years, maybe 30, before the robots, artificial intelligence takes over, right? Example, Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. A robot arm lifts a bottle filled with chemical reagents and carries it over a bank of test tubes where it dispenses a precise number of drops into each one. Because what's happening? An artificial intelligence algorithm will gradually take over the planning of experiments based on a battery of test runs. And once fully functioning, this robot graduate student will decide how to modify the concentrations of the ingredients it's testing. Because apparently they're creating these machines to run experiments and also to devise experiments also. So think about that for a second. You're going to have robots, artificial intelligence, experimenting and devising experiments and doing stuff, testing things out. So, I mean, my logic, it's not fake logic either. My logic is, you know, we're the bad things on Earth. So if a robot is statistically evaluating things, right? What are they going to statistically evaluate? That humans are an unnecessary evil. And devise a way to get rid of us. I mean, it's the logical thing to do, right? Right? I'm just saying. Because humans cause all the problems on Earth. So if you wanna handle the problem, you do an algorithm how to get rid of humans. Now, I don't want to be a spoil sport. I don't want to be that doomsday guy. I'm just saying. They're designing things that are eventually going to get rid of us. That's it. No, I'm not going on break yet. I'm actually going to talk about the Mile High Club. I have wanted to be a member of the Mile High Club for a long time. It's one of those things that's on my bucket list. I don't know if it's on your bucket list, but it is on my bucket list. Being in the Mile High Club, it's like, how can I be down? Right? So, I see that a couple weeks ago, there's a Texas-based startup, Orion Span. They announced they are taking reservations for the Aurora Station. And the Aurora Station is the world's first luxury hotel in space, which is expected to launch in 2021 and begin welcoming visitors by 2022. Now, it's a pill-shaped modular space station, which is going to measure 43.5 feet long and 14.1 feet wide. So it's going to be about the size of a private jet cabin when complete. And it will accommodate 4 guests in 2 private suites and 2 crew members, most likely former astronauts. That don't sound exciting. And so you're going to hover about 200 miles above Earth. And it's going to rotate the planet once every 90 minutes. So you'll be able to enjoy 16 sunrises and sunsets daily, as well as the northern and southern auroras in the atmosphere. Now, that sounds cool as hell, right? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but the opportunity to be out in space, in space hotel, whatever, I'm like, at that kind of sounds good. Sounds cool as hell. I mean, I'd be a little nervous, of course. But, you know, chance to be. You talking about the Mile High Club. That's the 200 Mile High Club. I think, but that's a, it's ready in 2022. So, it's like saving for college, right? You got like 4 years. Save some money to get to go to Aurora. So my question to y'all, would y'all go? I mean, for me, I'm like, hell yeah. I would go in a damn heartbeat if I could afford it. Now, I know it's going to cost some figures, so obviously, it would take something special to happen, or maybe maybe I win the lotto, or maybe, you know, you meet somebody and they're like, I want to sponsor. You know what, black people, as your reparations, I'm gonna pick. It'd be like that Willy Wonka. I'm gonna have 6 tickets. And I'm going to pick somebody. And those 6 golden tickets, 4 golden tickets, you can go to the Aurora station. That'd be a movie. You can just go to that station. It'd be kind of nice, right? Would you go there? Who's coming? Who want to go and be join the Mile High Club with me? 200 feet above the earth in the Aurora station, watching the 16 sunrises and sunsets daily. No? Y'all not feeling that? Okay. All right. I'm going to move on. It's a good idea, though. Mile High Club. Anyway, so, It was one thing that I saw, and I thought it was fake. I thought it was fake. The Pizza Hut shoes. You know, it was like there was commercials during March Madness, and it was like, oh yeah, we've got these Pizza Hut shoes, so you can order pizzas. And so I was like, oh, it's a commercial. And they were saying, pausing the game, whatever. I just thought it was a BS commercial. Then I found out it's real. You can have a real Pizza Hut shoe. And so, and I guess this is the second year that it's happened. So there's this designer, Dominique Chambron, AKA the shoe surgeon. And he created a footwear that could be used to order pizzas. They're called the Pie Tops, too. They're high tops, which were available in 2 colors, a red version for all the bloodhounds out there, to match the Pizza Hut signature red logo, and a tan colored one to, I guess, copy the pizza crust. So to activate it, you got to download a special app on your smartphone, and you're going to connect to the shoes via Bluetooth. And then I guess you want pizza. You press a button on the right shoe, confirm your address and pizza on the app, and then they come and drop off pizza. Now, I will say this. It is one of the dumbest, most asinine ideas that I've ever heard of. Because why am I clicking on my shoe to order pizza when I can just, if I have the app, I can just order the pizza on the app. It's like you got to have the shoe. It's like, so you're just like walking around. And let's say something happens and something accidentally presses your shoes, presses up against your shoe, and you order a pizza unknowingly. Pieces is just showing up against your house. Well, not against, but up at your place. You're like, what the hell? I didn't order these pieces. Oh, somebody sat on my bag. My bad. Sounds kind of dumb, right? Because it is. Because I was just thinking, like, of all the things, and this goes back to what I was talking about when you say people create stuff that don't benefit the species. This is one of those things. You created some shoes that can order pizza when we already can order pizza pretty easily. If I don't call them, I can do it on the internet. I can customize my pizza. It is all good. I don't need to click on my shoe. I mean, the whole clicking on my shoe thing is just like terrible. I mean, it's a terrible idea to me. It seems like cool if you're one of them weirdos. Because once again, when I first saw it, I thought that it was like fake. But now that I see that it is real, I'm like, who? What? Like, what? Are you serious? Tennis shoes that order pizza. Not carrying the code, but I can order pizza with my tennis shoes. That's got to count for something, right? I can't fix dirty water in Flint, but damn it, I can order pizza with my tennis shoes. Think of that. That's some special stuff there, right? Really, really special stuff. All right. I think that's it. Kind of, sort of. Is that it? Should I keep going? Or should I just move on? Or, I mean, what am I doing here? We're going on break. This is Rizecast. I'm tired talking about stuff that is of no benefit to humanity. But, no, I'm not going to go no further. This is Rizecast. Solo Nice. The remix.
together, you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Roz Codd, Soul on Ice. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. So, you know, it's that time of the show where I go into that stuff that happens over and over again. Y'all know what it is. It's Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, what is that shit that happened again? Where we're like, hell no. Well, there was a 14-year-old boy walking to high school. Slept late. He missed the bus. He, I guess he said he asked the neighbor for directions. And this was in Rochester Hills, Michigan. The woman opened the door and started yelling at him. And then the woman's husband grabbed a shotgun and fired it at him. He said, he knocked on the door. She opened the door and said, "Why are you trying to break into my house?" He's like, "I was trying to explain to her that I was just trying to get directions to Rochester High." And she kept yelling at him. And then the guy came downstairs to grab the gun, and he started to run. That's when he heard the gunshots, and he sprinted away from the house. And he said that he was crying, and he was like, "I'm kind of happy that, like, I didn't become a statistic." Yeah, so he said his mother had told him that black boys were at risk of being shot by others. Jeffrey Ziegler, who is white, by the way, was charged with assault with intent to murder and felony firearm charge. The bond set was $50,000. And he said, "There's a lot more to the story than what's being told, and I believe that will all come out in court. I was in bed yesterday morning when my wife started screaming and crying. The judge interrupted him, right? Because the wife called 911 around 8:20, saying that her husband had chased a black male who had tried to break in." You know, now they're like, that's absurd that it happened. The sheriff was like, "I feel terrible for the young man. I feel terrible for the mom and the anxiety that they had to go through. We're going to ask for every charge permissible for this guy who stepped up and fired a shotgun because someone knocked on his door." You know, and the only reason why he missed, because he forgot to take the gun safety off. The police showed her surveillance video of the episode taken from a camera installed at the home where the incident happened. So, we know there's a video. Now, of course, they didn't show no video to all us, because we kind of know what the video is. Because if the police see the video and they're like, "Yeah, it's kind of absurd," you know what happened there. You know what happened there. This dude knocked on the door, like he said, and they came out and tried to shoot him and kill him. So, you put this down as one other thing that, as a black man, you cannot do. You cannot knock on your white neighbor's door and ask for directions. Well, it wasn't his neighbor, but you can't knock on the neighbor's door to get directions or you can't knock on somebody's door to get directions because they will try to shoot you and kill you. Groundhog Day. Then they tried to lie and say, oh, he's trying to break in the house, but they have video. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he was trying to break into the house, guess what would have happened? They would have arrested him. He'd be in juvenile hall right now, but video not lying. And so they won't show the video because obviously we know it'll be something crazy. It'll be something crazy. But not crazy to us, right? Because we kind of know this happened. I think we now suffer from post-traumatic cracker syndrome, PTCS. it's so much racism that we can't even not deal with it. It's like, man, it's too much, because we're talking about like every day, every week, and you know it's not about people not being held accountable. Like that, you know, they're a criminal. You know, criminals get dealt with in a criminal way. It's no argument there, right? That's not the issue. I have the issue with criminals being dealt with differently, obviously, because we know, I mean, there was a white dude who shot a policeman, and he didn't get shot. He shot and killed a policeman. He got arrested. If I talk about killing a policeman, I might get shot. Well, I don't have to do anything that has anything to do with threatening the police, and I could get shot. I mean, what part of the game? Well, we know what part of the game it is. It's just amazing that so much of this has happened. And, you know, I would say it also shows, you know, we talk about soul on ice, the soul of black folks, and how kind and loving we are. Because in the midst of all this wickedness that happens to us, we still have not rose up and just slaughtered white people indiscriminately in the face of all this foolishness. All this foolishness. Groundhog Day every day. Just, and it don't even matter. No matter what you do, you're just an evil person. That's how it's put to us. But I'm not going to dwell on this, because I was talking about like evil. And so I want to acknowledge that the world is a little less evil today. Somebody died. You might know who they are. And if you don't, I mean, we know people die every day, right? But somebody really, really evil died today. I mean, you know, it's like one of those things, Satan and Satanah laying up together. Because I think the Satan-like individual, they died. And then the Satan-like individual's partner, they died. Now, I'm not going to say no name, because I don't want to do the whole chicken coming home to roost thing. I don't want to be ostracized from an organization that I'm not in, because I'm just that paranoid, right? I'm so paranoid, I don't want to be ostracized and people want to kill me and my kids because I said something when I wasn't supposed to say nothing. Because, you know, there are a lot of people who support people who never loved them. It's one of those weird things. People who support people who never loved them, never showed them any affection, never cared about them, historically never cared about them, but we love them, right? And so, if you don't know, I'll give you a hint as to who this individual that died today was. I'll never forget, during Katrina, they were down in the Super Bowl, and they were like, yeah, you know, the people were complaining about the conditions. They're like, I don't know why they're complaining. It's the best they ever had it. And we're talking about Katrina, people being displaced out of their homes and living in a cot with thousands of other people. I mean, just horrible, right? And so, yeah, that person, people cramped in the Superdome. It's the best they ever had it. That person. That person died. And I saw all the so-called loving words that they said about this individual and how we should be, like, in mourning because this individual died. But I go back to the words of Killer Mike. He did his song Reagan. Ronald 6-6. He said Ronald 6, Wilson 6, Reagan. 6-6-6. Ronald 6, Wilson 6, Reagan 6-6-6. And he said he was glad Reagan died. I'm glad Reagan dead. Killer Mike said that. Ghetto Gospel album. Kind of love that song. And so, In light of that, just hopping on top of that, I'm glad somebody died today. Don't wish death on anybody, obviously. But it's like, you know, when people are like evil people, can you really be sad when evil dies? I know. Some of y'all are like, no, they're not evil. You're misguided, Mr. FDN Word. They are not evil. They just happen to be people that said some stuff that wasn't right and supported some people that weren't right presidentially and FBI, CIA-wise. But hey, you know, me saying I'm glad they're dead is the truth for me. I mean, am I wrong for being happy that an evil person died today? Should we love our enemy? I mean, is that a real thing? Like, you should love the people that hate you with all their heart and soul, and that's how we beat them, with love and affection? I don't know. Because I'm thinking that if I'm going to have some love and affection for somebody, it's going to be for somebody that deserves it. That is nice and kind to me. Not somebody that just hated my guts, hate my guts, probably still dead hating my guts. I don't see why we should love him. That's just me. I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. And guess what? I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
on
the hill. Did you get your news from
us?
Together you got
smooth
drummer.